Let's open with hymn number 81.
Merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 16th verse. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep, as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? And as a beast goes down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the first through the seventh verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Hallelujah. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law, of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being
begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried,
and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We sing hymn number 90. our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, the 16th through the 21st verse. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye the former things. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, our Lord has performed many mighty works, which to this day are denied and belittled by men. He brought forth the forces of the universe, the matter of this world, and finely tuned the laws of physics and the incredible diversity of intricately designed life he brought into existence with nothing but the word of his mouth. Now men whose very hearts cry out that there is a God deny him with their lips and demand that the world must not be made by any creator at all. The Lord performed many other miracles in the sight of his people Israel. He brought the 12 plagues upon Egypt. He parted the waters of the Red Sea. He caused the sun at one point to reverse its course in the sky. He raised the dead. Intelligent men call these things myths and legends. It is not all men who deny the Creator or his miracles, though, but only some. Others accept the possibility of or believe that there is a God who intervenes in the affairs of men, for their conscience and the heavens themselves declare that it is so. But there is one work which our Lord has done, his greatest work of all, that almost the entire human race is united in denying, that God came to men in the person of Jesus Christ and became a redeemer of pure grace for everyone in the world. All manner of miracles men will accept, but this they cannot. Their hearts do not know it. Their minds cannot comprehend it. But this work, this new work, is so magnificent, so much the capstone of all that God has done, that everything else can be forgotten. Everything else is unimportant if you know the work of Christ the Lord. Christ Jesus is the new work of our God. It is a new work because it supersedes the former things of old. Everything before Jesus was a type and symbol, a prelude of better things to come. But he is the reality. The covenant that was before him was a covenant of the law, but he is filled with mercy and grace. The people of God that were before him were mostly limited to a small country in the earth. But now all men everywhere are invited and urged to become God's people. Let us learn why this work is new unto us, and why it makes all that went before it as but a memory that is forgotten. After the creation of the world, the first great work of our God, which the scriptures reveal, is the Exodus from Egypt. The deliverance of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. One could speak for hours describing the very many ways which God demonstrated that he alone is God, and that all the idols of the world are nothing. His power and might cannot be defeated. Egypt had their own gods, which served ultimately to be prototypes for the gods of all the nations in the later known world, down even to the present day. Almost every case of idolatry in the civilized world can trace itself to the gods of ancient Egypt. God brought down the 12 plagues upon Israel, and in so doing he showed that all these gods in which men trusted were powerless. And furthermore, even as these plagues were raining down upon the Egyptians, God showed his saving power by protecting his people from the same plagues. He showed that he is near and a savior to all who call upon him in truth. After the plagues, there is the miracle of the parting of the waters of the Red Sea. This is the climax of the Exodus and is remembered all throughout the scriptures. Here also we see it in Isaiah. In a most beautiful telling, God made a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, and there he caused his people to pass to safety. When the horses and the chariots and all the strength of Pharaoh and his army pursued Israel, God brought the mighty waters down upon them so that they all had to lay down under his might, and they never rose again. The light and the glory of their might was snuffed out, as when the flaxen wick of an oil lamp is quenched. So it is for all the kingdoms of men and every earthly power. None can stand before the Lord God. This Exodus is memorialized in the Psalms, in the laws which God gave Israel on Mount Sinai, in prophecy, in countless applications in the Old and New Testaments, and yet here in Isaiah, after the telling of it, the Lord declares, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Were God's people indeed to utterly forget that he had delivered them? No. Nor do the apostles forget, but they recount the old things many times in the New Testament, and Jesus himself did the same. No, the forgetting here is not of the facts of the events, but instead, that when God does this new work, they were to forget that these things had anything to do with their identity as God's people. Whereas all of Israel until that time thought of themselves as the people whom God delivered from Egypt, after this new work, they would identify themselves as the people that God delivered from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now that deliverance makes the Exodus seem to be a mere footnote. The new work of which the prophet speaks is the salvation of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It exceeds all the former miracles of God in every way. First, this work is greater because all the miracles that God had done before, be they ever so mighty, were but a type and shadow of the work that he would do in Christ. The Israelites remembered the Exodus every year at the Feast of the Passover. For God had passed over their houses because they were marked by the blood of a spotless lamb. Jesus is the Lamb, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us and for the sins of the whole world. His blood, which even now marks us and our children, so that death might pass over us, even as the children of this world are being struck down into the eternal death of hell. He is a redeemer to us, and he saves us from the angel of death, even as the children of this world succumb to him. The Lamb of the Passover was a shadow of Christ, but now we have Christ himself. The shadows and types are past. It is a new day. The Lamb of God has now come to men, and he shall make only one sacrifice for all sin, and it will be sufficient not only to cover the people of God, but the entire world of sinners. The Lamb which was slain for us will never be slain again, but he lives and reigns over his people. So also the people of Israel were delivered through the waters of the Red Sea. And after they had wandered in the wilderness, where they all ate of the same spiritual food and drink, they drank of the rock who is Christ Jesus before they even knew his name. The manna and the water from a rock which they experienced there were symbols of Christ. But now, he himself has come. And today we pass through better waters than the Red Sea, for the waters of baptism are a washing of regeneration, a new birth which God offers to all people. And this work is not limited to one small nation of Israel. He sends out his rivers of life and salvation as streams into the desert, where all the beasts of the earth can partake of it and live. The jackals and the ostriches, that is, the Gentiles from every nation, who are now privileged to call themselves God's own people, his chosen, have drunk of his waters and now live. This new work which God performs among his people every day, delivering the souls of men and their children, not from human armies, but from the far more fierce foes of sin and death. After the Exodus, the next great event that we see take place is the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And the law is not only the Ten Commandments. Those alone are enough to keep all men busy for the rest of their lives. God also gave many other laws which Israel was to keep faithfully if they were to be God's people forever. The law which was given by Moses was a tremendous burden upon them. It grew old very quickly. In mere days, Israel turned away from the law and gave themselves over to idolatry when they worshipped the golden calf, whom they demanded the high priest Aaron fashion for them. And then the Lord showed them what his law demanded, not only in its keeping, but also in its breaking. The most wicked of them were slain, and all the others were punished. And from that point forward, a repeating pattern was set up. The law is given, and the people hear it and break it and are punished. And then they return unto the Lord and hear the law again, and it starts all over. Sometimes their punishment came in the form of new captivities that would bring to their minds the captivity of Egypt. Even so, the Lord was teaching them that none but he could help them. And now all those laws had a function. They were a hedge which God set up to separate Israel from the rest of the world, to preserve them into the future, to keep pure the bloodline which God had ordained that would be the means by which he would bring his Son into the world. And therefore, when Christ came, the giving of the law receded behind him. Right and wrong, good and evil, black and white stayed the same, because truth is truth and evil is evil. But all the other laws governing food and drink, clothing and cattle, festivals and days of worship, marrying and having children, the many laws which were a hedge which preserved the people until Christ came, all of these were absorbed by the coming of Christ. He superseded these old laws because once he arrived, the law had done its purpose. But for you also, Jesus has superseded the law of God. Evil is evil and good is good. Sin is still the transgression of the law. Not the law of shadows and types, but the pure law which God has given to men because it is true. He even has written it upon their hearts, so that all the nations of the world might model their own laws after God's perfect holiness. To Israel and to all his people, God gave the Ten Commandments, which are still binding upon us. For in their heart and core they mean nothing other than love. Love the Lord thy God with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. That law never passes away. But even that law is fulfilled in Christ. Ceremonies and cleansings, sacrifices and rituals, those things are easy to keep. Such things the old law demanded of the Israelites. But the unchanging law of love, that is another matter entirely. There God makes demands upon every action and thought, and he judges everything that men do and say and think to be corrupt and good for nothing but the fire. the new work. The perfect law of love is not destroyed, but it is kept more perfectly and more completely than all the efforts of Israel combined. Christ Jesus is himself God's love come down from heaven. In a mystical way which none of us can comprehend, God made him to be our substitute. He lived his entire life in the place of all the men of this world. He was charged with keeping the perfect law of God on behalf of all men. And yes, also even the countless ceremonial laws which God gave to Moses. But the greatest manner in which Jesus overtook the law on our behalf took place on his cross. There the collective guilt of sin and its wages of eternal death were poured upon Christ. But in that horrific death, all the law of God was fulfilled, both in the keeping and in the breaking. Now for all who are in Christ Jesus, the law and all the other former things are past. The Passover, the Exodus, Mount Sinai, manna from heaven, and countless other miracles recede into the background. When we look backwards today, when we stop our busy lives and gaze into history, there is one form and one hill which looms higher and more glorious than everything else God has done. And its glory exceeds everything else by such a great degree that all the other creations of God are mere darkness in comparison. It is the hill of Golgotha and the cross of Christ. It was for Christ a cross of pain. It is for us the cross of glory and salvation. It is the instrument whereby God has formed for himself a new people. We are his people. Therefore, let us show forth his praises. For this is our high calling upon this earth. Let us marvel and rejoice in the new work which our Lord has brought into the world in his Son. May the streams of his mercy ever refresh us in the wilderness of this world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. In mercy, O Lord, cause the gifts which we bring before thee to be put to fruitful use in the work of thy kingdom and in the proclamation of the gospel of thy Son. Amen. O Lord God, Father in heaven, who in the fullness of time did send forth thy Son to be the light of the world and to gather for thee out of all the kindreds of the earth a redeemed people, We give thee thanksgiving and hallow thy name that thou hast so graciously provided for us and for our salvation. We thank thee that through faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, we have received the adoption of sons, that we may call thee in spirit and in truth, Abba, Father. We beseech thee, dear Father, to show us thy mercy. Deliver us from all evil and rescue us from the due reward of our sin. Grasp us with thy fatherly hand and lead us from this fevered world to the green pastures and still waters of thy word. Bestow on us a true faith and a holy love, that the child whom thou didst send for the great testing of men may be set for our rising rather than our falling. Heavenly Father, we implore thee to let thy grace rest upon us, that we may grow strong in the Spirit and be filled with wisdom, that we may do that which finds favor in thy sight. Let the brightness of thy glory shine upon all who need thine almighty aid. Illuminate hearts filled with darkness and homes overshadowed with sorrow or suffering. Give the light of truth to all in authority in our own land and elsewhere. And fill our schools with thy divine light, that all strife, superstition, and ignorance may be banished. Establish the reign of Christ over the nations of the earth. Visit every land with thy mercies, that thy saving truth may be proclaimed to all the lost sons of mankind. Bring them to the obedience of that holy child whom thou didst send for the redemption of the world, even thy Son, the Word made flesh. Let his word and doctrine, his birth and ministry, his death and resurrection, be that light of divine truth which shall brighten every land. For our sick, our wounded, our hurt, our troubled, our fallen, and our absent fellow believers, we pray, grant unto them whatsoever they may need, soundness of body, strength of faith, or security of hope, and grant them all in Christ assurance of salvation. Hear us, O Father, in these our petitions, and direct and govern our hearts that we may be preserved in one holy Christian faith unto everlasting life. Amen. We sing hymn number 93.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Thanks unto the name of the Lord our God.
It is meet and right to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lord, have mercy.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards Thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn number 54.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.